take our Bible again and return to the book of Hebrews and the 11th chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, this morning. Over the last several weeks, we've been considering together from this chapter the theme of faith. This morning, we want to consider that true faith is a faith that is willing to wait upon the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, this morning, we're going to be looking at the life of Abraham. If we say that we have faith in God, and we claim that we are walking and living by faith, a proof of that statement will be that we are willing, as Abraham was, to wait on the Lord. So far in our study, we have seen that true faith, a faith that is pleasing to the Lord, is a faith like Abel, that willingly worships God aright. It's also a faith like Enoch, that walks with God anew. And as we consider last week, it's a faith much like Noah's that is willing to work for God and even endure in that work until the Lord brings about His perfect will. The lesson, though, this morning is perhaps maybe the hardest lesson regarding our faith. As we look at Abraham's life and we consider the need to wait on the Lord. You know, none of us really like to wait on the Lord. We struggle with the concepts of waiting. We desire to control our own destinies and determine what we will do, and we want to determine where we will go. When we really look at life, we expect God to work all of His will according to our plans, and we want God to fit into our schedules. We profess that we believe the whole counsel of God, and yet when we're called upon to wait, we refuse to heed what the Scripture says, as it does in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I hope that you understand this morning that it's God's prerogative to do all that is pleasing to Him. He has the right to do according to His will and His good pleasure. Our God is not bound to seek your counsel, nor is He bound to seek mine. He has the right to do as He wills. We are answerable to Him alone, not He to us. Our duty is to walk by faith and to wait upon the Lord. God has called us to live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And we must be willing then, like Abraham, as we'll see, to walk by faith. I found this quote this week as I was studying, and I appreciated so much what it said. Samuel Rutherford, the old-time Scottish minister, said, "Duties are ours, events are God's." When our faith goes to meddle with events and to hold account upon God's providence, and we begin to say, "How wilt thou do this or that?" we lose ground. We have nothing to do there. It is our part to let the Almighty exercise His own office and steer His own helm. There is nothing left for us but to see how we may be approved of Him and how we may roll the weight of our weak souls upon Him who is God omnipotent. It is your duty and my duty to wait upon the Lord by faith, to trust in Him with all of our heart. Not to lean to our understanding, knowing that He'll direct our paths as we acknowledge Him in all things. God has called us to live and walk by faith, and true faith is a faith that will willingly wait upon the Lord. No one portrayed that life of faith better in Scripture than the father of the faithful, Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, I want to begin reading in verse 8. And we'll read down to verse 16, and then we'll pause and have a word of prayer. Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is in the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to call them their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we're able to come and gather together again around the Word of God, that we might be taught and instructed what it means to walk and live by faith. And Lord, I pray today that you would teach us from thy word and by thy Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, you would show us where we fail to live that is pleasing unto you. Father, you want us to walk and live by faith. The just are to live by their faith. Yet, Father, we struggle because we desire to walk and live by sight. But Father, you have promised that you will do good unto us, that you will supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory, that we will lack nothing if we but trust in you with all of our heart. You will lead us and you'll direct us, and to us will come blessing. So Lord, we ask and pray that you would teach us today from thy word. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two basic ways that a man can choose to live his life. One is very common, and the other is becoming more and more rare. You and I can choose to either walk by sight, or we can walk by faith. We can base our actions and our attitudes towards God and others on those things which we see, or we can base them on those things which we see not. That thought of basing your life, your actions, and your attitudes upon that which you do not see, for the most part, will cause most people to think that a life of faith is a life of foolishness. But those who know the Lord Jesus Christ understand that the Christian life is built upon the life of faith. And that life of faith given unto the Lord is built upon the solid foundation, the rock. And when the winds come and the rains begin to blow and the winds begin to howl around us, we'll stand strong and we'll stand firm because we're built upon a rock. We need to walk and live by faith. You know, the reality is, it's interesting to note that those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ for eternity, it's interesting that we would still struggle then to guide our earthly life by faith as well. I want you to consider with me for just a few moments what it is that we have done already by faith. We have never seen God, but by faith we know he exists. We're confident that he is. You and I have never seen Jesus Christ. You and I weren't there. You and I did not witness the Calvary experience. We didn't see him hang upon that cross and die and shed his blood. We didn't witness the life that he lived. Yet we know that he lived upon the earth, that he died upon the cross. We know that his tomb is empty, for he has risen again, and today he sits on the right hand of God. We believe that by faith, and we don't struggle with such a thought. You and I have never seen the Holy Spirit of God. But we claim that he lives within us. And in fact, we take rest in the fact that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. By faith, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, you and I have never met a single writer of the Scriptures. You and I haven't sat down and talked with Paul. We've never had that opportunity to interview John and be able to see if the things that they would say, were they trustworthy people? Yet by faith, we take them at face value and all that they have written. Yet we pick up an article and read by some other earthly writer this day, and we begin to question everything that they say. But by faith, for those we have never met who lived years ago, we trust every word because we believe it's the word of God. And we don't struggle with that. And we shouldn't. By faith, we're convinced of those truths. By faith, we have staked our eternal destiny on things we have never seen. You know, when I have opportunity to be able to talk with someone about their need of salvation, I'm saying to them when they're trying to understand, well, what exactly is faith? Well, faith in God, folks, simply means this to me. I have staked my eternal destiny on Him alone. And if Jesus Christ can't save me, nothing can. But I believe by Him and His work, I'm saved. And I don't live in fear. I have put my faith in Him alone. I have staked my eternal destiny on that which I have not seen. Yet we struggle to allow the Lord to do with our lives as He wills and walk and live by faith here on earth. We struggle when we're called upon to wait upon the Lord. We trust God for salvation. Yet we struggle to trust Him in our daily situations. Folks, God has called you and He has called me to walk and live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have a confidence in God and His Word, and I have developed my life upon that Word and developed convictions that I will live and stand by, and nothing will cause me to sway. By faith we are to live. That faith requires that we wait on the Lord. And as we consider the life of Abraham, we see one who stands before us as a pattern of faith. His life in every way demonstrates for us what it means to live as God has called us to live. A life of faith. A life that is pleasing to Him. As we come to the book of Hebrews this morning, we begin in chapter 11 and verse 8. We see, first of all, a faith that is practiced. Abraham shows us the practice of his faith. You and I would turn back to the book of Genesis and study the entire life of Abraham. You would find that much of Abraham's life is found in waiting upon the Lord. God called this man to come out and follow Him and serve Him. And as the writer of Hebrews begins to share with us in synopsis the life of Abraham, this life of faith, we are reminded of his waiting on the Lord. And it's seen in really two basic events in his life. First of all, we find that Abraham was one who waited for his inheritance. Look at verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned to the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and with Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Abraham waited for the inheritance. From the very beginning of time, God had chosen His plan to work through mankind. God had promised Adam and Eve that He would, through one, send a son. He would send one, the seed of a woman, that would be able to come and take away the sins of the world. When you turn to Genesis chapter 12, we find that God now is going to continue to carry out that plan through one single man and through his family, the man Abraham. In fact, I want you to turn back to Genesis 12, and I want you to see with me just a few things from the first few verses of that chapter. Genesis chapter 12, and I want to look at verses 1 through 3 again. Verse 1 says, Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Later down we find in verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. In verses 1 through 3, we have what we commonly call the Abrahamic covenant. God came and he established his covenant with Abraham. And God called Abraham to come and follow him. Come follow me to a land that I will show you, a land that I will give you as an inheritance. And God promised through Abraham that he would bless him, that he would bless his family, and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. God had promised an inheritance and one to inherit the land, a son. Through the seed of Abraham and Sarah, God would make a great nation, and that nation, through that nation, would come the Messiah, the Savior of the world. With those things in mind, I want you to see with me the faith that Abraham exercised as he waited upon the Lord to receive that promise. God had promised him an inheritance, a land to possess. As we go back now to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham was called to follow God and to walk by faith. And in order for him to practice that faith, there would be required a pilgrimage. There's a required pilgrimage. God had promised a land that was not familiar to him, a land that was not home to him. Abraham was from Ur of the Chaldees. That was the place that he had lived. And now God is calling and he is going to take them, we know, to the land of Canaan. And God had promised that land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants. But God called out Abraham to come and follow him. Verse 8 reminds us that Abraham did not know where he was going. Simply, he was called to follow the Lord. Folks, that's a walk of faith and not by sight. He was simply called to follow the Lord. And we find that Abraham obeyed. He simply did as the Lord had called him to do. Here's what we need to understand from verse 8. When God called Abraham, as soon as God called Abraham, the Bible says he obeyed. I want you to put yourself in Abraham's shoes for a moment. Men, I specifically want you to put yourself in Abraham's shoes for a moment as the leader of your home. God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I have an inheritance for you. I have a place that I want to give to you. Through you, I will bless all the nations of the earth. Come and follow me. Where are we going, Lord? I'll show you later. Okay, Lord. You know what Abraham did when God said that to him? He literally came home that day, walked into the tent, and began to pack. And began to prepare to leave and go and follow the Lord. Man, I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think about what it would be like for you to come home from your job one day, walk through the front door and say, honey, kids, come together. I've got a surprise for you. What are we doing, Dad? We're packing the house today. It's on the market. Already called the realtor. She'll be by today. It's going to be assigned there, and we're going. Where are we going? No clue. God will tell me later. Men, are you willing to go home and tell your wife that today? No. You crazy? She'll kill me. She'll think I'm nuts. She'll have me down at the Waterford. I've lost it. That's exactly what Abraham did. When God called, he obeyed. And he went to a place that he knew nothing of. A pilgrimage of faith. The practice of his faith not only required a pilgrimage, but it required patience. Look at verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. He practiced patience when he arrived in Canaan. God had promised him a land. God took him to that land. And you realize that Abraham never possessed the land. He never owned it. God had given it to him and to his descendants as an inheritance. But he, Isaac, and Jacob never owned that land. In fact, it tells us that they dwelled in tabernacles. They lived in tents. They never settled and built a house, and they never built cities. It was their land that God had promised, but they were content to live in tents. They live as those who were strangers in that land. He had left all that was familiar and comfortable, but he came and saw the city whose builder and maker was God. He wasn't consumed with that which was earthly, but was consumed with that which was heavenly. He never obtained the inheritance. The only piece that Abraham ever owned was a small cave, which he would first purchase that he might bury his beloved wife Sarah, that he himself and his descendants would be buried. That's all he ever owned. But he never possessed the land. God had promised him that land, but he never possessed it. You know, to a lesser man, that would have led him to live a life of doubt concerning the promise of God. It would have caused for many today discouragement, but not Abraham. He walked by faith, looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. I appreciate the words of John MacArthur concerning Abraham's faith in this. He said, True faith is deaf to doubt, dumb to discouragement, and blind to impossibilities. No matter what it experiences, it sees only the promised success. Faith sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, touches the intangible, and accomplishes the impossible. I think that describes the life of Abraham. True faith follows God wherever he leads and patiently waits upon the Lord in all things. He not only waited for an inheritance, though, the Bible tells us he waited for an inheritor. Look at verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is in the seashore innumerable. Abraham practices faith as he waited for the inheritance, but he also practices faith as he waited for the inheritor. God had promised that he would be the father of many nations, but in order to be the father of many nations, he had to first be a father. And the problem for he and Sarah was simply this. Sarah was barren. Genesis 11 tells us that. She was barren. She could not have children. And now they are beyond the age of conception. But verse 11 says, by faith, they counted the promises of God and waited for the inheritor. They waited for that promised son. They knew that God would fulfill his promise, although God would not fulfill it right away. He was 75 years old when he left Haran. He was almost 100 when Isaac was born. He waited for that one to be born. That didn't mean that from time to time they didn't struggle. We know they did. Matter of fact, both Abraham and Sarah struggled, and they sinned against the Lord by Abraham fathering Ishmael through Hagar, Sarah's plan. You know, there's a lesson for you and I to learn in that one. When you and I are not willing to wait upon the Lord, we bring upon ourselves problems. When we refuse to wait, we heap trouble on our own lives and on the lives who follow us because of their unbelief in that moment of time. There has been tension in the world over since, as Ishmael, the father of the Arabs, has always resented Isaac, the father of the Jews. And there's been a problem because of their unbelief. What a wonderful blessing it is to know that though Abraham and Sarah learned from their sin, they continue to wait upon the Lord, and God rewarded their faith. Her being past age, her womb dead, she bore a son. G. Campbell Morgan spoke about the waiting of the Lord and said this: waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, a readiness for any new command that may come. Here's the hard one. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. We are to wait upon the Lord. We are to wait for Him. Abraham and Sarah judged God faithful to His promise and waited by faith. As we come to the conclusion this morning, I want you to follow along as I begin reading verse 13. Because I want you to see not only a faith that is practiced, but a faith that is positive. It says in verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." By the way, there's an attitude that you and I need today. We need to be willing to embrace the promises of God. We need to have the attitude of being a pilgrim and a stranger in this land, and not allow this earth to really become our delight and our home. Heaven is our home. Verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned." You know, when you and I begin to focus upon the things of this world, we can stop walking and living by faith and begin to return to the old ways of life and live in the flesh. Verse 16, "But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." How is it that these men and women of old could walk and wait upon the Lord in faith? The answer is found in those verses. You'll remember verse 10, it said that Abraham looked for a city whose foundations and maker was God. He was looking for a heavenly city, not an earthly one. He considered his inheritance heavenly, not earthly. He was consumed with the things above, not the things of the earth. And his descendants had the same desire. They sought for a city, but they didn't seek an earthly one. They were looking for a heavenly city. They had the right focus and the right perspective. They were able to wait on God in faith because they believed God to be faithful as He had promised. There was a greater inheritance than any land or any city or any building or any home. It was heaven. And they were waiting and looking for that city. What allowed them to walk by faith and wait upon the Lord? They were looking for that heavenly city. They understood that God's blessing was not wrapped up in earthly possessions, but God's blessings are wrapped up in heavenly promise. And they looked to the Lord. You know, the reason I think so many today struggle to live by faith, so many struggle to walk by faith, so many struggle to wait upon the Lord, could simply be defined by the word worldliness. By worldliness, we mean the attitude that is motivated by selfish, earthly desires. A worldly person is someone that is consumed with the things of the earth, and they're not too concerned about the things of heaven. Their heart is at home upon the earth, and they give very little thought to the things of Almighty God. Abraham willingly dwelled in tents and lived as a pilgrim because he worked for that heavenly city. I'm going to ask you this morning, What's your focus? Is the focus on the things of this earth, or is it on the things of God? Are you more consumed about the possessions of those things which are temporal? Or do you care more about the promises which lead to that which is eternal? What consumes you today? What is it that causes you to wake up every morning and motivate you? For many today, it is the things of this world. I wonder today if we're content to know that although we may not possess much here upon the earth, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, and we've been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Is that enough for you? Is it enough to know that I have been blessed with all spiritual blessing? Or does God have to give to you earthly things for you to trust Him and you to count Him as good? Are we pining for the things of this world? Is our joy and our contentment wrapped up in those things which are made by brick and mortar, sticks and stones, paper and plastic? Or is it truly wrapped up in those things which are eternal? Your delight and my delight ought to be in the person of Jesus Christ and Him alone. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You and I are to give our lives fully to a life of faith, which is willingly, like Abraham, waits upon the Lord and looks for our inheritance, which is afar off, a heavenly home. And what a blessing it is that one day we will see our Savior face to face. Our faith needs to be positive. Our faith needs to be centered in the person of Christ. When He is our delight, there'll be no struggle to wait upon Him. We'll trust in Him with all of our hearts and lean not to our understanding. God wants us to live by faith. Yet as soon as our timing is not met, we begin to grumble, we begin to complain, and we begin to gripe against our God instead of walking by faith. When things aren't clearly seen of us, we begin to question, is God really in this? Does He really care? Doesn't He know what I'm going through? This just seems to be so hard. Where is our faith that follows Him and walks by faith and not by sight? Where is the faith that says, Lord, I will wait on You in all things? For they that wait upon the Lord, they'll have their strength renewed. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And many are falling from the wayside because we just won't live by faith. A faith that says, Lord, I'll wait. And I'm happy to be a pilgrim and a stranger in this land. I have a heavenly inheritance, and that's my focus. And because of Jesus Christ, I've been made an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And that's enough for me. Folks, we don't need the things of this world to bring contentment, happiness, and joy. We need Jesus Christ. We need a life of faith. That is what this world needs to see through your life and my life. But the sad reality is what the world often sees in the life of a Christian is them pining for the things of the earth, not the things of heaven. True faith, a faith that is pleasing to God, worships Him aright, walks with Him anew, works for His God. Even though it seems to be so long, they continue to work. And true faith will wait upon the Lord and trust Him every step of the way. Let's pray.